You are listening to episode 32 of the Paper Player Podcast. I'm your host, Tony. I'm joined with the full crew today, Josh, Jeff, and JB. JB, what's going on? Good talk.
Yeah, good talk. Josh,
hey, you asked the wrong guy.
Great. You don't even know what's going on in life?
Nothing.
All right, Josh, lead us off with your EDH nonsense.
I'm excited to play EDH this weekend.
What's the gathering that you're doing?
So I'm in an EDH, I'm in two different EDH group chats, and it's always like, when are we going to get together? And then like nothing. And then, well, I guess the other one is more active than the other, but it's been in like a couple weeks. And then all of a sudden now, like I asked the question to both groups and everyone said yes. And now I've got like six people that want to play EDH on Sunday.
Pretty sweet.
So I guess six people are coming over to play EDH.
Are you guys going to do one giant pot or two threes?
I'm hoping that it staggers enough that we can just always have a four-player pod.
Yeah.
Without anyone feeling bad.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that's how it plays out. But we'll see.
I don't want to play a six-man pod.
Correct. And if we do, I'm playing Purphoros, and then I'm just going to, you know, try and kill everyone as fast as possible.
I'm just going to play Armageddon.
Nice.
Oh, my God. You're obnoxious. It's okay. I'm okay with, like, you playing Armageddon if you're in a winning board state.
You're like, I'm about to lose this game. Better ruin it for everybody else.
I heard this idea that is right up your alley, Jeff. It's a red deck. I didn't hear what the commander was. But the idea is you play, like, all the red cards that destroy all lands, like Jocklehops and all that stuff, and you play, like, all the phoenixes that come back out of your graveyard. And then how you win.
Yeah, you just Jackalhops and then just win with, like, a 4-1 phoenix.
Or like a bunch of Phoenix, like Rekindling Phoenix, and I guess Jocklehops could be your third spell, so you get your Arclight's Phoenix back. You play your land for turn, and then all that brings back your other one that only costs like one red to come back with when you have Power 4 Ferocious or whatever.
Flamewake.
Yeah, that one.
That's a tough EDH to think.
It's still like EDH, that's the kind of EDH decks I like, where like you have a goal and that's what you're gonna do.
I'm just excited to finally play the Werewolves deck after buying all these Werewolf cards.
Like, see, that's another deck I like. He's got an idea, and that's what he's going to do. He's going to play Werewolves, and he's going to have fun.
But the other one I built was, what is his name, Torin or whatever, that green, white, and one Monastery Mentor, but for creatures.
Oh, the training guy? Yeah.
Yeah, so I built him a stack. So you just play him, make a bunch of tokens, and don't allow your opponents to do anything, and then you play Armageddon.
Yeah, see, that's a good use of Armageddon, because that guy just spirals.
Yeah.
And plus it runs,
you got a million dudes that just get bigger.
And if it's turn six, I can play Heroic Intervention and then keep my lands.
Oh my god.
Heroic Intervention is just one of those, like, secret bangers.
Right, it's a card that, like, when I was trading all that stuff in to get the Taiga, I was like, I pulled it back out of the pile. I was like, I need this.
But they've done, like, a couple of reprints of that card, and it still holds, like, a solid $5.
No, it's still, like closer to 10.
Is it now? Okay.
Yeah, I have one in my TCG card. It's like $7 or $8.
Yeah. All right.
I got the like Planeswalker stamp foil one or whatever.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I got it out of a pack and then I was like, oh, this is cool. I'll put this in the EDH deck. And then as I was like rummaging for cards to trade in to get a dual land, I came across that. I was like, oh, I could get rid of this. And I ultimately put it back because I'd rather have that card worth the $10 or whatever to get the Taiga.
I was looking on TCG for Windswept Teeth for the green white deck. Like, and apparently the they're cheaper than that. The Zendikar Rising Expedition ones are like 30, but I saw the second Zendikar set ones, the actual expeditions, and it's actually only like $80 or $90. So I thought about maybe getting it because it does look cool.
Fancy one.
Yeah.
I traded a Wooded Foothills for Chinese one not too long ago.
Nice.
Yeah, of all the fetches, I think Windswept Heath is like the most unloved one.
Yep.
It was like also like in a starter
deck. The cheapest one still though is Aired Mesa and Marsh Flash.
Yeah. That's Marsh Flash is like dirt cheap.
Yeah, with that reprint, it definitely knocked him down.
Perfect. Before... Aired Mesa's were $50 before the reprint.
Yeah. I mean, that's how fetches go. I mean, it's all lands, right? When they're in, like, I can still go buy packs of Mono Horizons 2 at Target and possibly open up like a fetch land. So like they're still accessible, but the Mono Horizons 2 packs haven't gotten egregious yet. And once those things finally kind of, you start seeing them no longer at Targets and you see them just at like local game stores for higher than MSRP or regular price that we're used to, that's when you start seeing everything just start going through the roof.
I'm in this dilemma right now where I want to be competitive in this energy series, but I don't want to have to rebuy Ragavans.
Yeah, it's a tough thing. Yeah.
On this kick right now, I'm going to play Mono Blue in Legacy. I'm going to stick to it. I'm just going to know my matchups.
I mean, you could definitely get away with it. Legacy can be open, but as long as you're like playing Modern, and even some of the tournaments they have coming up are sealed, you should be able to get away with a lot of it.
Right.
Maybe they'll do a switch and they might go into Pioneer. I doubt it, but it's certainly a possibility.
I have a Ragavan that is in Purphoros EDH, and I got it. I traded it to Antonio friend of the podcast, so like I didn't feel bad trading for it, and then I was like, I'll just put this in the ADH deck. I wasn't gonna get rid of the cards I traded anyway, so I plan on keeping that Ragavan regardless.
Yeah,
so I just need to get three more, and like getting like three non full art ones or whatever seems like not a bad idea to try and like work towards right now, but at the same time, I also want to spend the minimal amount of money on that that I can.
Yeah, it's also hard to commit to anything right now just because it's kind of far away. So you can make decisions like, oh, maybe I'm not going to go this weekend, or maybe something else is going to go. But if you're going to truly make a run at it, you probably have to attend at least one of the two tournaments or one of the two tournaments every weekend that they're hosting wherever they are.
Right, it's like Legacy on January 9th. So we got like, what, 18 days?
Yeah, that is coming up pretty quick. I didn't even realize. Right.
For the Legacy, I can't play in whatever Saturday is. I think it's Modern.
Mm-hmm. All right. So the topics we got today, we're going to go over some of the spoilers that came out of the Kamigawa set. That it wasn't too many of the spoilers, but just kind of the printing of the cards that are coming out. We have a new segment called the 5-Color Minute. Top 8 basic lands, because we missed it and Josh really wanted to nail those. We're going to then swerve into odd magic formats. And I know there's a plethora of them, and we can kind of go over them and see what's fun about them. And then Soul Ring, if we have time for it. But before all that, JB, take me to the bazaar.
EDH people are dumb. Dumb.
Is looking for a really weird card that no one will probably have. It is Enroll in the Coalition. It's a very cheap card. I just need a copy. And do you guys know what that card is?
No, I'll read it.
It is one of the playtest cards, and it's an enchantment that says you are the flag bearer. And then while choosing targets as part of casting a spell or activating ability, your opponents must choose at least one flag bearer if able. So essentially it lets you, you know, if any other cards say, like, target person draws X cards, it's going to be you every time. And I think it'll be a good card to play. It seems good.
That seems nice. I was thinking, like, for some reason in my head, I was like, can I just Heroes Downfall you and kill you? But I don't think that's how it works.
No.
Because you are not a Planeswalker, nor you are a creature.
Yep.
But you are a player.
Yep. So if you have, like, a target player does something spell, and, you know, you're always going to use a negative one on me anyways, so why not try and get some positives out of it?
I think the one playtest card I'm trying to find, if I'm not mistaken, it exists. It makes everybody play with their deck like upside down, meaning that you just take the bottom of your deck is now the top, and everybody can see your cards as you draw.
Like, I don't know what that card is. I don't think I saw that one.
I was going to say, there's a card in Yu-Gi-Oh! I used to play way back when that was like a world or whatever, those field cards that did that effect, and I loved it. It's like, haha, you flip your deck upside down and then everybody can see what you draw, but except it works against you. And there's other cards that just let people play with the top cards of their library revealed or whatever.
Future Sight.
This is yours, I think.
Huh?
I think Future Sight, you get to play cards off the top of your library. It's even better.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah,
that's why I thought there was one that's like that.
Yeah, you get Form of the Mole Drifter. I like that one.
Where everything's a Mole Drifter?
Yeah.
That's pretty dope.
That's actually good in that format. If I could do my best Ragavan impression and dash into your bazaar, I have a Underground Sea, and I'm looking for a Wheel of Fortune, if that entices anyone listening.
Yeah, I'm interested. I'll let you know. I am interested in the UC. Jeff, what's the bad card of the week?
Bad card of the week is Path to Exile. It's actually been popping up in some Modern lists, and I'm not quite sure why, with Prismatic running around. I get it in, like, red-white, because you don't care about giving your opponent land instead of gaining life with, like, Solitude and stuff. And Prismatic's not too good in red-white.
Yeah.
Burn, but I've been seeing Path pop up, and I feel like that card is just dead and Modern. There's no point to play it.
Path of Exile?
Yep.
Really?
It's hanging on by a thread, like, if that.
Prismatic is just so much better.
Yeah. And playing Prismatic, you also have Solitude, so it's like you don't really, like, if you're not playing Solitude, then yeah, maybe play Path.
Also, like, I'm a fan of Path to Exile still. It's like, maybe call me a boomer, but it's also like assess. It's also availability. It's way easier to get a Path of Exile than it is to get a Prismatic Ending right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I don't know if it's probably wrong to play Path to Exile over Prismatic Ending, but I don't think it's a bad card, or it's like, I don't think it's a bad option.
Yeah, it's like playing Brazen Bower in Legacy.
Right, see? I guess don't take advice from me.
I mean, here's the biggest hit to Path to Exile is it can't hit a Ren and Six, and those are kind of running all over the place.
Yeah.
Jund has kind of reclaimed its top spot because of how powerful Raghavan, DRC, Ren and Six, and Lurrus all are in the same deck.
Brazen Barber, Nightmare too.
And Ren and Six's price just keeps going up and up. I think that card's up to like 100, 110 bucks.
Double Masters 2 coming in like 2 months.
Yeah, I forgot about that too. Man, Double Masters 2. Do we have a reprint set this year other than Time Spiral Remastered?
Modern Horizons 2 had some reprints, technically.
Yeah, those were like new reprint to Modern, but like the Master sets have historically just been 100% reprints. Have we had one this year? I don't think we had one this year, did we?
No.
Okay, unless you count as Time Spiral Remastered.
Right.
That was a reprint set. That was all reprints, so.
I'll give you that. And like they did the time-shifted thing.
Yeah. Well, they did. That's what sold that set. You take that out of there, there's really not a lot of Eevee in there.
Yeah, but what other cards were people trying to get out of there other than time-shifted cards? Like, there was...
Damnation. Did they do the whole block, or is it just Time Spiral?
It was the whole block.
So I think Urborg was in there, if I'm not mistaken. Tarmogoyf
was in there.
Yeah. I mean, they had some strong cards, for sure. Like, that block's got some pretty strong cards overall. Dryad Arbor, if that's worth it to anybody.
If anyone's listening who paid $200 for Tarmogoyfs back in, like, 2015, I would like a response on some kind of socials about how you feel about that.
I mean, they might have been able to ship them, but, I mean, Tarmogoyf's, like, life has been, like, 200. Well, it was, like, 25. Then 100, then Modern Horizons, or Modern Masters 1 came out, then 200, then it reprinted another Modern Masters, or a Masters at 100, then 75, and it's just dwindled down to like a measly $30. Somehow that's still $30, though.
Jeff, you remember that time we were like live watching time spike from like $30 to like 150 in like a matter of an hour?
It was 20. We were at States, and that's when Baneslayer was $50, and we traded one Baneslayer for two Tarmogoyfs and two Shocklands and walked out the door and found out that the Tarmogoyfs jumped up to $60.
Man.
Because that was right before Extended Season was starting.
Yeah, Extended Season, the old Trader's Paradise, where literally cards would fluctuate on a season. Like, oh, it's Extended Season. Everything would go from, like, we're talking like 30-cent lava spikes to $10, $15 lava spikes. And then right as the season ended, everything went down because everybody was like, sell, sell, sell.
Right. Lava Spike. That card also has a roller coaster price history. I still think my favorite price history is Vengevines.
Yeah.
And it's like a live one. That one's still live. That price history is still like wild.
I'll just give it a second. We'll get something graveyard based, and it'll spike right back up. It always It's always like loaming around.
It goes from like $10 to $50 overnight, like so often.
That was also the same weekend, by the way, Josh, that we went to that hobby shop and picked that random pack of Future Sight, and I opened the Tarmogoyf.
My God, that was insane!
To get the last one we needed.
That'd be an amazing feeling.
And the packs were like $10, so like it was definitely like, because that was when Primeval Titan got printed.
I have a funny story about Tarmogoyf. So this is way back in the day when I used to work like Grand Prix for a vendor, and when I was doing that, you know, I would sit behind the table. We always bring obscure packs with us, and we had a guy buy a Future Sight pack from us for $40. And this is like, I think at the time, this was like the first couple months that Modern was announced, and we were actually at a Modern Grand Prix, and there was no Modern Masters yet, so like Tarmogoyf didn't exist. This guy goes, what if I open up a foil Tarmogoyf? And you know, all his friends are laughing, and they're like, there's like side bets going on because that's just what happened. And then he does open the foil Tarmogoyf. He runs around the room, and then by the time he gets back to the table, he like didn't realize it, but he crumpled it in his hand. Like, he squeezed it by running around. He ran around the room like yes, and he didn't realize like it was in his hand, and he crumpled it. And we were like, oh, way to take like an $800 Future Sight card down to like it was. I don't even think it was sleeve playable. It's like, man.
I was in possession of a damaged foil Tarmogoyf that had like a computer chair like roll on it is what I guess happened to it. That was like my best guess as to what happened to it. And I still got $400 for it.
I mean, those old foils, man. I mean, what, Future Sight was 2006, I think? The original one?
Yeah.
All right.
Older than that, 2006? Maybe.
I think it's 2006.
It would have been 2005, 2006, because that's when we used to go to Walmart at 2 in the morning, and they'd have those three-pack. They had these, like, three-pack things you could buy for $10, and it was always the Future Sight sets. And we'd go back to Josh's house and three of us and draft.
Yeah, I'm staring at the card right now. It was 2007 is the the date on the bottom.
Yeah, Time Spiral must have been 2006, and then it would have went 2000, because they usually did, like, it was always December had the beginning of the block, January or whatever, or November had the beginning of the block, then January, February had the second set, and then April had the last set, and then it would go to a core set or whatever gimmick of like Ice Age or whatever they were doing at the time. Not Ice Age, but Cold Snap. Let's talk about the Kamigawa Neon Destiny. I'm sure you guys have seen the spoilers and then how insane those lands are going to be.
Oh my god, yes.
I mean, this is, I swear, I think next year is going to be the year of the basic land, meaning that it's just, they have so many different options for them. And I thought I was getting burnt out on them. And we talked about, what, a couple weeks ago or a couple episodes ago, the Infinity ones. I thought those ones were sweet. These Kamigawa ones, in my opinion, blow them out of the water.
All agreed. These are my 10 favorite lands.
These are pretty, like,
our top eight list.
Absolutely nothing I can say about them.
Our top eight basic lands. My He's eight are on them. Here. They're revealed this year. I don't care.
Yeah, fair.
Island with the waterfall, I really like because that looks like my tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
And then I like that swamp right there, the one with the rain and the lanterns.
Yeah, that one looks amazing.
That one's my absolute favorite. I am drawn to that swamp. I need.
Yeah,
I like the mountain one, the town, the snowy with the town.
Dragon. I like snowy the mountain dragon. Yeah.
I mean, both these are great. So when I look at these, I look at the two planes, and I have a one that's more preferable. I like the ones with the big sun in the sky. I don't really care for the one that's like town.
The one with the sun reminds me of Dragon Ball Z for some reason.
Yeah, me too, man. That's why I'm drawn to that one. But the two islands, there's the waterfall one. The other one's okay. Like, these both, I wouldn't mind if you had, like, either one of the foils of these. The swamp, there's the clear winner, which is that raining one. I don't, like, the other swamp getting it foil would just be a bummer. Because you just want the good one. And then the mountains, it's coin toss. They're both fantastic. And then both
the forests are cool, too.
Yeah, they did really well. There's only, like, two of them that I wouldn't really want, which would be the other swamp that's not the raining one, and then the plains. But either way, they're all awesome.
The one that's the in the town, like the flooded town, the swamp, I think that one looks too crowded. I'd like the other one more.
Really?
It's more open.
I really like the other one. Looks like something you would see like a hanging, like bamboo, whatever they're called, like poster. Sure. Almost. So, it almost looks like a t-shirt art. It's like really good. Like, all the art's really good, but, like, man, they're so...
That's my problem, is a couple of them are a little too cluttered, but that's just me being a snob, so...
The second swamp, the one where it's not raining, actually reminds me kind of a Lorwyn.
It looks like it. It's kind of open, but nice.
It's got that, like, purple coloring, and it's, like, kind of vibrant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These are fantastic. And then, also with Kamigawa, they showed three different spoilers, which was two mythics, which is one. I don't. This is the worst set to be able to say names, but I can say Kaito Suzuki, which is the Planeswalker.
Oh,
yeah, that one's a cool one. It's reminds me it's got like a static ability, but the static ability just phases in and out, kind of like a ninja would, like throwing a smoke bomb. So I like that from a thematic standpoint. But the alternate art being done by, what was the guy who did Fist of the North Star? I don't remember his name. It might be on here, his name.
But it's tough to read because I had to search a couple of times until I realized it.
I can't read it.
Either way, it's
Hara Tezuko or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Tetsuo. That's it.
So if this is not like a clear indicator that like you should be buying either collector boosters to get these styles, because this is the first of many, and I wonder if they did a route where they just grabbed a bunch of like manga artists and just was like, okay, well, give me something in your style. I would be so ecstatic.
Give me a Naruto and a Sasuke.
I was about to say, I saw someone make a comment. Too bad the guy who wrote Berserk passed away, because I'm sure he would have been in on something like this.
Yeah, that would have been fantastic.
Unpopular opinion, I am not a fan of Berserk.
Alright, that's that's a weird one to me, man. I love that anime.
So far with this set, with what they've revealed and like the hype, I'm kind of like, I think what my problem with this set is going to be is that this set's gonna like be so flashy and look so good and have like a bunch of cool stuff that's gonna happen in it, but it's not gonna be like flushed out it should be. Mm-hmm. And we're gonna see like kind of what happened with Estrad Midnight Hunt this year, where like stuff was cool and like there was cool stuff in it, but like the set like didn't get really fleshed out until you got to Crimson Vow. And that two block paradigm or whatever just is really, I think we should go back to that as like a
big set, small
standard
set.
With Magic. I feel like we're not going to get enough from this set for it to be like really good, because like there's a lot of stuff that they're like trying to jam in here. There's rats, motorcycles, there's going to be dragons and all this ninjas and stuff. Like, we're not going to get
like, I feel like
enough cool stuff, or like enough, like we're not going to get enough immersion into this that we want.
Sure.
I feel we're going to end up like the opposite. I feel like we're going to end up with like an Eldraine set. It's just going to be a bunch of like super pushed, like, overpowered power creep stuff.
Yeah. Really? Because like the stuff they've revealed so far doesn't seem so like it. Like, they obviously chose this Hidejutsu guy as like the face of the set. You could like it's going to be the rarest card in the set to collect. It's going to be one of these pink ones or whatever per 100 boxes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like that does, and it, that card's like borderline unplayable.
Yeah, I guess.
You have to like really want to build that deck in EDH.
Agreed. But there's plenty of sets where like
the faces are not great.
We didn't get Ragavan until like almost the end of the reveals.
Yeah, but like Eldraine, like Oko was the poster boy. And now we got Kaito Shizuki, and he's also kind of bad.
Yeah, but every other card in that set was like look at every adventure card that was rare.
Yeah,
like, right.
They had to ban it. They had to ban it.
The stuff we've seen so far does not show me Eldraine at all.
I also think
this shows me Midnight Hunt in Estrad. It shows me.
I also think the Planeswalker is going to do more than people think.
I mean, it's supposed to be ninja themed, right? This Planeswalker. So, like, he's got the ability of draw a card, then discard a card unless you have attack. So, if you're attacking with like 1/1 unblockables, this card's just +1 draw a card, which is pretty strong on 3 mana. It's -2, makes a 1/1 that can't be blocked on ninja token, which is also pretty dope. And then I never read ultimates because I just, if you get lucky enough in a game to do that, you are already winning enough.
There's like a 2 mana dude that kills Planeswalkers now, zombie.
Yeah.
You have to exploit, yeah.
But he's gone. He phases out. So then he comes back in on your turn.
All right. So you don't get him on turn 3. You get him on turn 4. But
you got all the advantage, point,
like, the point is you're supposed to be able to protect it at that point. Like, it's giving you a full cycle.
Yeah. I get it. It's just cute.
You do get to untap with it, which is dope.
I was about to say, doesn't he to see what the numbers do? I mean, I guess there's no way to, if like they have this like smoke bomb thing as a mechanic, we'll see. But there's only like 250 cars in this set, and they also have rats with motorcycles. So we'll see.
Yeah. Also, we don't know if we're gonna get Ninja Lords, which I have a feeling we will, because we don't have any real Ninja Lords.
I just like I really like this, and I wish that we'd go back to the two block paradigm, because Innistrad was perfect. I may complain about Crimson or Midnight Hunt being set, but the two sets together were really 9 out of 10, really well done together.
Okay.
Individually, it's like 10 out of 10 for Crimson Vow, and then 7/10 for Midnight.
So I think the big thing with this set, the old Kamigawa block, you got to flesh it out with over the three blocks. You had the Legendary Dragons, which had that chance. And then you also got like classic Samurais and all, like those kind of Barbarians they threw in there as well too. So you had all these different creature types. Like you said, like this set only being 250 cards. You really have to choose like, okay, we're going to do ninjas and rats and dragons and ogre demons. And then that's pretty much like where you got to leave it off on, because you have to do a couple of vanilla. So we won't probably see any significant like Samurai Tribal, which I'm sure maybe they'll do one of the Commander X, the Samurai Tribal, that could be a thing. I don't know.
Samurais was like, there's a Samurai art for like the collector boosters or whatever, but like Spirits was a big thing across all three sets in the first
the
one.
And
like,
yeah,
we're gonna see Spirits in this, like this. No Soul Shift or whatever. No one liked that mechanic anyway, but.
Right.
Are we gonna get Arcane?
Probably not. There's no reason to add that.
Right.
I think my ideal thing would be to go back to Big Set. medium set, big set, medium set, which they tried for like four sets. And I thought that was good because you get the opportunity to introduce like core mechanics. And then the next set, you can flesh them out a little bit more and then also add like a mechanic that is in perpetuity with it. Like it works together, but not exactly like a one-to-one the same mechanic. Like they did that with Infect and Proliferate, right? Like right. Infect came, I think Infect was it all three blocks probably had them. I don't remember, but I think the first set had Scars Muted, and they all had it. Either way, it works really well together.
I really liked what they did with this Innistrad, but I don't know how much Wizards would want to do, like, two set blocks for, like, a new set. Like, that's a lot to risk on, you know.
Yeah, you're essentially rolling the dice, hoping that one IP that you choose, well, not IP, but, you know, one style. Like it. Yep.
Right, because, like, I don't know if I would like a second, like, Mutate was... you know,
plus these things are built to draft, right? Like everything's it with the draft mindset where everybody wants to be opening up three of the new pack. I mean, one of the things that sucked about that old format was like when the first couple weeks that new set came out, everybody was just like, let's just do three of the new set. And it was like that limited format always stunk because everybody had like four copies of everything,
right?
Yeah, we'll probably go away from it. Either way, what is the rarity? They have like four neon, like this Higetsu, whatever it's called, Higetsu. That card has like they previewed four different neon versions of them, and I think each neon version has like a different rarity. Like one color is higher than the other. Like I think I don't think blue is like the low tier, and then the yellow is the top tier.
Yellow's a promo.
Oh, is it?
Pink, okay. Pink is the ultimate rare.
Got it. It's like one in a thousand.
If you want better pronunciation, Hide, and then the T is silent, so Sugu. There you go.
Got it.
Hide Sugu. Pronunciation of any language outside of, you know, that I speak. It's not even English.
Oh, yeah, I've been
nerd
watching garbage for 20 years.
It's right. It's science nerd.
Jeff, what were you saying about the rarities? What's like the highest tiers?
I do believe it goes blue, green, red, because the yellow is the promo and red is like ultra rare.
Sure.
And all of these to begin with are like one in every like 80 collector booster boxes, so like you could open 80 and only open like the lowest of the three, so like it's real bad. I also think it's kind of fine that they're doing this because you can get like a 50 cent version of this card. You don't have to get this art.
Yeah
If you could only get it in those arts, then it would be a problem because there shouldn't be a $500 like garbage fire card.
Hear me out though, why didn't they choose Atsushi guy, the dragon that makes three treasure?
Well, let me get this straight. It's just that one card. There's not like a plethora of those cards. It's just him.
It's just him that's getting that treatment.
Weird. That's really bizarre. Yeah.
Right. That's what really bothers me with this. Like that's why I'm saying we're gonna get the Innistrad, because like this is the card they chose to have like the ultimate rare for.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's
It's probably story driven. He's probably like the main like villain in the set.
Yeah,
right. I'm sure they have their reasons, but
they should have done the Planeswalker,
right? Or the dragon, or something.
What are the promo cards you're looking for?
Those are the game day.
Yeah. By the way, game day is coming back
March 5th and 6th at your WPM store
from the Innistrad block.
Yeah, I mean whatever. Their game day promos like participation, top eight, winner. Like I like that.
But
it was better than the playmat.
I miss when they did the full art versions of them where the game day is.
Yeah, that's weird. I'm not sure they went away from this.
Not. I still want full art expressive iterations, but they're like impossible to find.
Yeah.
Probably expensive too.
They're like 80. Yeah. It's like more expensive than normal ones, but they're just impossible to find.
Yeah. I'm just happy that Game Days is back. It gives people a reason to like go play at their store on Saturday or whatever and go win their store championship. I loved them back when I first started playing Magic, and I'll be honest, because of where I'm at, like my relationship with Magic, I'll probably be more hyped for like a game day because it's local. Like I can just go there and be like, I won.
I'd go play this if it's limited to get my free. I want my consider, you know? And then everyone who else who doesn't want their consider, I want their consider. So I have a set.
All foil, right?
Right.
I think so.
That's fine.
That's bad. I don't like that.
You act like they're not going to do consider as like 1,000 different promos.
Yeah. Right.
Let's delve into our five color minute, dog. JB, you got anything hot? Any new hotness for your five color?
I'm just gonna divulge it here. So you know R&D Secret Lair.
Okay.
I've been trying to figure out how to break the hell out of that card. And I found a couple of combos that are instant wins if I have it and one other card on the field.
Sure.
And one of the goofiest ones that isn't an instant win, but works really, really well, is there is an old fish creature that's called, like, the island fish or something like that. Island fish something or other.
Does it have island home as, like, an ability?
Its name is Summon Island Fish.
Okay.
It was errated to be a fish only, but a fetch land can fetch any kind of island. It has a subtype of island. If I have R&D out on the field, I can fetch up a 6/8 out of my deck with a fetch land.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good.
And that's so, it. It's chopped. Whatever we say from about any five color nonsense will be cut out from here on out. It'll just automatic. I got it. So I'm done. All right. Let's. I know you love that card. Top 8 basic lands. So you guys want to go over the basic lands that came out this year? So I don't know which ones they are. I don't have the only ones that really came. Like, I like to think of them as like complete sets as a whole.
That same thing. I don't think there's anything. I can't think of anything special for Strixhaven. With AVR, they had the flavor text lands.
Hated them,
which was and terrible.
With the Innistrad sects, we got the full art black and white.
I did like.
Those were okay. I was looking at them. They're fine. I mean, if I'm going to have to pick something, it's going to be like the Pixel Lands.
Well, they didn't come out this year. They come out next year.
Yeah, but it was released this year, and I like buy it right now.
You can buy it, but you don't. Oh, sure. But that's fair. I'll give you that.
Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you can. You have like 2 days left on that sale.
Also, the Innistrad Lands they did. What was it, Dracula?
Right. Yeah, there's also a bunch, like, with these top 8 basic lands, there's also, like, a bunch of secret layer basic lands that came out here. Like, those pixel snowlands count.
That's what
the League of Legends ones, which are just bottom tier because they're just generic.
Bottom tier, right.
Seriously, yeah. The worst.
I like all the AVR text. Flavor text ones over that.
Was the all text lands? Was that this year?
Those count this year. Those came out this year.
Then also the Kaldheim ones, which is, like, the black and white with, like, just the mana symbol in the center of it. Those ones are pretty dope. I
forgot about those. Those ones were cool too.
Those are really cool.
Pokemon energies. That's right. Okay.
My favorite land this year is from Midnight Hunt, and it's Island 271 Midnight Hunt.
These are those Kaldheim ones. These ones are sweet. Like the swamp looks amazing. You had the full text lands, which were great this year. I love those. Old. Yeah, they look so ugly, and I saw people have them. You had the Dracula ones that came out this year too. From there, I can't think of anything crazier than that. I mean, these are from Throne of Eldraine. Believe it or not, these are really expensive.
Mm-hmm.
The Throne of Eldraine ones, because nobody bought those because nobody wanted to spend money on basic lands. That's the kind of secret.
But Wizards is raking it in on basic lands. Do people still pay money for basic lands?
Yeah, they do. Oh, those were when I acquired.
I mean, if they would have put the Kamigawa ones into a secret layer, I would have bought that secret layer.
Yeah,
they're missing out on my money.
They're coming, dude. 100%. There's a Kamigawa basic and secret.
Yeah,
as long as they're like that, I'll take it.
100%.
Yeah, it's on the way.
Especially after
like next year's spring super drop or whatever. Get ready.
Yeah.
Wizards, because everyone
has money, and that's tax return season, bro.
Yeah.
Everyone had a good reaction, so of course they want to make money off of it.
If this was real, this would be the best one.
Oh man,
that would be the best.
We're looking at Alters, and it's Windows XP's background for a Planes with a small magic symbol for Planes in the center, top left, as like an icon
that you click on to get like a shortcut. The biggest blowout this year was this.
I forgot about that. I was going to say,
right.
Thanks for reminding me.
Peels Planes, which actually isn't a Planes.
If that would have stayed a basic Planes.
This is not cool anymore.
Yeah.
If that would have stayed a basic Planes, I would have been so happy to get that.
Right.
Everybody would have been happy to get it.
Interesting enough, though, is that if you zoom in really close, pixelated whatever picture of the Unfinity booster display.
Yeah,
it says sticker cards in every pack. So, like, I'm thinking the new Unset's going to have that plain sticker technology in the...
I'm so ready for it.
Yeah, whatever. They also had like these random. Do they have the Phyrexian Plains this year too? I think
that wasn't this year though. That was last year with Jumpstart. Oh,
they just threw them in there. Yeah, yeah, I think you get them foil this year, but yeah, that was last year. All right, so I mean, I don't have any. To me, there's like two. There's two front runners, which is the I like the Kaldheim full arts just because they look different from a mana symbol standpoint. And then I like the pixelated snowlands. Everything else, it's not for me.
I like the Innistrad land, so they're just the ones in the set, the black and white ones that are in the packs, like every booster.
Yeah,
I like that Innistrad has them in every pack, and like how they traditionally. I am not complaining about anything from Neon Destiny, upsetting that it's only like one in three packs as those.
I mean, that's what it is for Innistrad.
No, there's one in every pack.
Yeah, there is. I bought a collector box and a collector booster, and I got a bunch of foils of them. They look good.
Regular draft booster.
Yeah, they're cool.
Every pack. I probably would get a collector box.
Go back. 270 or yeah, that's my favorite one from this year.
Yeah, I mean,
they got some cool ones.
That one's also top tier.
See, my problem is none of these are ones that I would say I'm going to put them in my deck. The only one that would maybe be at that level is the Alt-Text.
Alt-Texts are amazing.
I like Alt-Text lands.
Yeah.
After this, I'd probably put... If I was top 8-ing them, I'd probably put top the Alt-Text in like tops. I'd put him like 6.
Yeah. Okay. I don't have a preference. Oh, yeah. The Adventure of the Forgotten Realms. They're also... I forgot about those. They had the lands with flavor text on them.
I like those. I'll admit that I like those. But they're bottom tier.
The Kaldheim Snowlands weren't bad.
The Kaldheim Snowlands are probably number one. I think those are the most sick. Those are, like, very metal.
No, the regular ones? Because the other ones aren't. They're just basics.
Those ones. Those are the Kaldheim ones I'm talking about. Yeah.
There you go.
Those are sick.
Yeah, sorry. I just don't have a preference on anyone. So anything beyond my top two, I don't care what order you put them in.
How about this?
We discussed. I just wanted to discuss our favorite basic lands. We didn't even have to do top eight. Just discuss which ones you like.
What's your favorite basic land of all time?
Unlimited mine. Mountain.
I like the Veronique Monyard. I butchered his name, but the forest. Type in Veronique Forest from Innistrad or from Original Zendikar.
No way. I think I know which one that is too. It's like the one, like the viewpoint where it's like you're kind of looking through the forest.
You're like looking. It's like underneath, and it's like a rainbow.
Yeah, I know which one that is.
Yeah.
I think my favorite is probably the Ron Spears Apex Swamp, the one where it's in like a Japanese graveyard and they have the spirits flying around with like the tombstones.
Mm-hmm.
That looks great. That swamp is sweet. Too bad it's $100. I'll get one and no more.
Yes.
Mine's the Plains from, I want to say that's Ice Age. Or yeah. Cold, which one was the newer one? Ice Age or Cold Snap?
Cold Snap.
Cold Snap, yeah.
So it was Cold Snap.
The Hoth Plains.
It looks like, yeah, the Hoth Plains. It's got like the moon in the background. Like, that plains look so awesome.
Especially for the snow-covered plains.
There's a set of basic lands I loved, and they were actually, their art has been reprinted a bunch of times, but they premiered in like Original Shards of Alara. There's like this island where it looks like it's like a grid landscape on the top.
That's from Shards of Alara. There's a one in
like
each.
Like an artifact. It looks like an artifact.
It's one of the. Thing. There's one for each Esper land.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're really like they're just like to me they were cool.
I like those ones too.
I love those, and I always try to get them. If I find them like foil in bulk boxes, I just grab them.
Yeah, I have the blue. I have a bunch of the blue ones.
In terms of full set of lands, mine's probably going to be the Unglued, no matter what, just because I enjoy the border style on them.
Two Zendikar basics.
Zendikar basics. I mean, those things were worth so much money when they first came out.
Right.
Yeah. The Twisty Island was like $3.
It was more than that.
The first time the Zendikar foil or full arts came out, the Tippy Cup Island was like $10.
Yeah, Bucket Island was worth a lot of money.
I forgot about that one.
I had a foil one I sold for like $20.
Jeez.
Yeah, Zendikar basic lands. I wish you could do OG. Or click on that first photo.
Oh, this is Zendikar Rising.
Or that's
the Twister. Twister Island. One.
There you go.
I like the.
This did have the best.
Third Forest Down is my favorite.
This one?
Yeah, that's my favorite. Good. That's my favorite art of all of Magic. That's the like art that was like the inspiration behind my tattoo.
Yeah.
Like I wanted a rainforest.
The Avengers Zendikar Forest right below it.
This one's the. I love this one.
I like
the Avengers Zendikar one.
Sam.
I'm pretty basic. It's like I like this one.
Sam Burley.
the Tippy Cup, the Ring Mountain, because it reminds you of whatever, the Eye of Sauron.
I like that one too.
The Plains, I don't care.
All the Pirani lands, I love. I love all that those arts, dude. Dude, all five of them. And like the wooded foothills that he did is like amazing.
Mm-hmm. All right. So do you guys play any obscure like Magic formats? I remember like when I first started, I used to play, there was like a five color, like, or not five color, but pentagram Magic, I guess, where the people to your right and your left, you played like as if you were on the back of a Magic card, the people to your right and your left were your allies, and you had to kill people that were like your enemy colors.
We called that like general.
I forgot what it was called, but I played a lot of it.
Yeah, we played that a couple times, but when we first started playing, it'd be like six of us in someone's living room, like playing our like tabletop decks all against each other.
Yeah, I've definitely played my cards on an ottoman while someone played it on their bed and all that. Like, like, what does your card do over there?
I do that every day at lunch. You guys have to sit at separate tables.
I think the most unique format I've ever played would be, I played Tiny Leaders for a little bit, but that format.
Right, I played Tiny Leaders.
Well, that one actually caught steam. I mean, Plane Chase is, that's more of a mainline than that was intended. Like, what I mean is, like, formats that really Magic the Gathering, like, EDH wasn't constructed by Wizards of the Coast, but eventually became this huge thing, and I wouldn't call it, like, a odd format anymore. That's kind of the mainstay of Magic. But things that are, like, Tiny Leaders is a perfect example where it's, like, Wizards would never support it. It was kind of community-driven, and then it was a flash in the pan, and then it kind of died off. And I'm sure there's still a small community for it, but it's just not realistic anymore.
You call Popper odd format?
Kind of. It is.
Not that popular.
No.
What about Cube?
Cube is highly popular now. They just can't sell a Cube product to us. I mean, that's what Master Sets are. They're essentially Cubes.
I mean, if you want to count the two decks that I made that were Urza's Saga block constructed.
Yeah.
Kamigawa block Popper Tiny Leaders.
I mean, hyper specific, and I don't think anybody but you is playing that. You might have one other person
playing it. There's a whole subreddit.
It's got to be the worst.
Nah, I'd rather do Lorwyn if we're going to do that. I like
Lorwyn was so good. That's where we need to go back next.
Like, yeah, man. I need my fairies.
Lorwyn block Popper Tiny Leaguers. Is there any uncommon or in Lorwyn block?
I don't know.
I mean, I've played played the Grand Melee where it's like 200 people playing one game of Magic.
It's atrocious.
That's atrocious.
Terrible.
Well, you only can affect, like, let's say if I Day of Judgment, it only affects the person to my left and the person to my right. And then there's like counters. They do it every year at Gen Con, and Last Man Standing gets some super awesome prize. I've done it multiple times. I loved it. But
you just have to like shrink up the circle when someone loses.
But when someone dies, you just go like you're like, if you kill the guy to your right, the when he is eliminated, you have a new opponent to the right. That's the new guy. That's your opponent.
Yeah, but you have to like shrink the circle then, because
you're constantly moving. Yes.
Does the match ever like restart?
No, because typically what they've done. So like the times I've done it was like M12 sealed when I did it, and I made the mistake of putting Primeval Titan in my deck, which that was actually it's a bad card because you thin your deck out, and all of a sudden you don't realize like, oh crap, like, because I made my deck to be like 60 cards knowing that it's going to be a 40 turn game, like I'm going to draw 40 cards, but then I put Primeval Titan in my deck and I was like, oh, I'm going to die because I took all the lands out of my deck and my deck is 15 cards smaller than everybody else. That, but the bomb in that format was Elixir of Immortality. If you had that,
you just had to refill.
Mm-hmm. So either that, or you made like a 90 card deck. You had to make those decisions like that. But yeah, I love playing like Grand Melees. It's a once a year thing that when I was going to Gen Con, I used to do. And you know, they would get 242 people to participate in it, and it goes pretty quick. It doesn't go because everybody's killing each other quickly. You make alliances. You talk to the guy to your left. You go, hey, I'm gonna only attack to the right. Can you only attack to the left? And then, as in my nature, I always just betray him immediately. As soon as he attacks to the left, I'm like, all right, I'll kill you now.
You're such a dick.
That's just the way I am. It's like, what's the scorpion and the frog, where he's like, hey, I'm going to ride on your back. Are we going to get across? And the scorpion's like, no, I won't sting you, because if I sting you, we both die. But every time I sting him, anyway, well, it's in my nature. I just can't help myself.
Got him.
So basically, when we do our PPP EDH, you're going to convince me, Josh, and JB to fight each other.
Can we please just do this PPP EDH game?
I'm building my EDH right now. It's fine.
Who's your commander?
Please
tell me it's Lavinia, the coin flip guy. It better be the coin flip guy.
Lavinia.
Nah. Oh, you're going to be that guy? Oh, my God.
Yeah, I don't care. You're going to make me play EDH. I'm doing it.
This is how I get people to pit against JB in the table. It's all coming together.
Did you tell him to build Lavinia? Oh my god.
Wait, now you're done.
It's the one that says if you don't have enough lands equal to the mana cost, you can't cast.
Lavinia Knowledge Pool, Lavinia Omen Machine is the two.
Fairy, only two mana.
Just make sure that you're playing a Crozen Grip or just Crozen. Yeah, you have to play Crozen Grip against him, or a morph creature that flips up and destroys it.
And it says if you don't pay anything for a spell, you don't get to cast it.
So, I tell you guys to build an Age, and then two of you. Why did both the guys with the same name build Stacks decks?
All right, we can do this together, JB.
Yeah.
We'll take them out, and then we can battle it out.
Yeah, that's fine.
Have fun with your 45-minute EDH
My general just does it for me.
Oh my!
I'll say, guess whose fault this is. It's yours. You made me play EDH.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna cast my Spear of Resistance now, so you have to pay an extra 7 to cast every spell.
Yeah, good.
That's why you just gotta play mana
for my Spear of Resistance.
Well, then you'll be able to play your zero-costed spells because you have to pay something for them, and it gets around Lavinia.
Just play Wash Away. You'll be fine.
It's too expensive for my blood to play those cards.
I don't care. EDH can be won by... I've been looking up so many trash combos. My goodness. Like, there's like the mainstay ones, which are pretty cutthroat and everyone knows because they're pretty easy, but there's so many like undiscovered three card combos that are just three bulk commons, but when in combination they insta win the game.
Right, there's so many.
It's kind of the beauty of EDH. Like, I've only experienced like EDH on a competitive level, so I only see the top 10 things, you know, where I'm sure like the casual crowd, it's got to be just nonsense all the time.
It is. Look at all my EDH decks, dude. They're all nonsense.
We used to, one of the chats that Josh was talking about, he was in for EDH, is like a group of us that always played, and we'd always come up with like stipulations for each, because we play like once a month. So it'd be like, oh, you can't build a deck that has a value of over $50 or only use common. 60.
I played PDH dollar per card.
Yeah, before they were making legendaries at uncommon, I've played PDH and all those. Like, I loved those. Those were, again, one of those flash in the pan formats that people built, and then a month later was like, we're bored of this. So if you want to talk about Sol Ring, here's your floor to do it.
I
don't really want to talk about it. I just wanted to like point out arguments about on both sides about why the argument's flawed.
I think your argument about it versus Legacy doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that's a bad argument. Now, if you said it homogenizes all decks, then I agree 100%.
Or what? EDH?
Yeah. Well,
whatever. It doesn't. It's a 99. It's a singleton format. I don't care.
Yeah, like, go ahead.
But what I was getting at is that I think that the turn one Sol Ring start is so good in EDH that even like a bad deck with their turn one Sol Ring start will steal the game.
I mean, that's like, so when you're in blue, you should be playing Mental Misstep to punish the turn one Sol Ring, right? Like, not, I know it's a singleton format and the odds of having it are pretty low, but there's two things about Sol Ring. One, if you cast Sol Ring and it resolves, you are now the arch enemy. If you cannot convince the table to turn on him, you suck at convincing the table at turning on him.
That's also another thing about the card, too, is, like, it also makes, like, gameplay miserable for some people.
You just have to put people on high alert. You go, okay, we have to join forces because he's going to get out of hand because he's accelerating past us. Don't mind me when I play a land and Jeweled Lotus. Don't look at that. Right. However.
That's also my thing, is, like, the conversation also, like, when I say Sol Ring, I mean Jeweled Lotus. I mean Mana Crypt. I mean Mana Vault.
Yeah. Yes. The thing is, those cards don't feel so bad when it's just the singleton Sol Ring or the singleton Mana Crypt. It's when you see the guy go like Island, Mana Crypt, Sol Ring, and you're like, oh my goodness. And then they go Urza, and you're like, what? All right, nobody got to play anything. Does anybody have a Force Will? Yeah, exactly. So that's when it feels bad. When it's just like you played a Mana Crypt and you went from 1 to 3 mana, that's not too crazy of a play to me, but it's the combination of the Jeweled Lotus plus the Sol Ring. You're like, what is going on here? And this got out of hand fast.
And I've also like ventured like into like new EDH groups, and then like I like talk to these people and they're like, I'm going to spend some money. And like, they show like this, they're like on some EDH cards and like, they show me like a TCG card and it's like those three cards. Like, I'm going to spend $200. I'm getting these three cards. I'm like, oh, stop. Nah, don't do that. Like, I don't like, you're not going to make friends that way.
It's fine. Here's the thing. If they're going to jam it in their dragon deck or their vampire deck, like, I don't care. It's a way for them to, I think that's a pseudo investment of what people, yeah, it's an investment too. People just like spending money on their EDH because that's like, true. That's like, their personality.
I get it. I just like, I don't know. I don't play those cards anymore. I'm also the kind of guy where like, I won't buy a mana crypt, but sure, I'll play it if I open it. Pack, yeah. And I'll do whatever I can to get packs to open them, you know. I'll go out, mm-hmm, and I'll buy a box, or I'll probably buy a box or whatever, but like, I was playing that mana or jeweled lotus that I got from pack warring for a while.
I finally traded that thing away. I finally traded my jeweled lotus away. I had it for like a hot minute, and the entire time I owned it, I never played it in EDH. So I was like, okay, this is going in the trade binder. And boy, was it the first thing everybody wanted from me.
Yeah.
Also, right. The reason I'm okay with fast mana is EDH is already a format that normally takes a long time, even when you're playing with 4C EDH people. So like, fast mana just kind of speeds that up. Otherwise, this hour and a half game is now taking 2-3 hours.
Yeah. I mean,
ultimately, everyone's just going, like, ultimately, the real argument is just your table. But
yeah.
Speaking of, I need 2 meltdowns if anyone's got them.
And you remember that post too. I made that I said that I was buying them for $8 or $9 bucks or something? I got no hits on it. Nothing.
they're just not a card that's like sitting around. I'm sure if I went to like a local game store and now that they're something that I'll be on the lookout for, I bet you I could find like 10 or 15 of them. Mm. It would take me 3 hours, but I could do it.
Yeah, because you dig through a bunch of boxes sitting in the back.
Yeah, I'm just the rate of how fast I can go through a 5K. I can probably do like search and dig out all the cards that are $2 and above into like a 5K in like under 15 minutes. It's just, I just speed through that stuff. I just have a mind for it.
I don't know enough of the value of old card, like niche cards, to be able to do that.
Yep. Kind of just, you learn techniques and you're just like, oh, okay, well, there used to be like hard and fast rules. Anything that was an angel, anything that was an elf, anything that was a goblin, you just always pulled out. And then that rule's kind of changed over time. That's not the same anymore. Like, Imperius Perfect has been printed like 6 times now, so that's no longer like a $5 card. But I can't tell you the amount of times I found 50, 60 Imperius Perfects just sitting in boxes. Before we wrap up the show, I just want to mention our Facebook and our email. I did check our email. We did not get any questions this week. And you can always send us a question at paperplayerpodcast@gmail.com. We are on TikTok. What's the actual name for that, Jeff?
Paper Player_podcast.
Is it at? I don't use TikTok because I'm a boomer.
No, you just type in the name and on TikTok to search, and it'll actually have our logo too.
Nice. Man, we're also on Instagram as well. I think Josh, you've taken that those reins on that.
Yep, it's just Paper Player Podcast, all one word.
Perfect. And then I think we also have a Discord channel that I'm hoping to grow, and we can start communicating with our community. We have about 20 some members in there. The sweet number I'd like to get there is like 50 to 100, and maybe just start using that as like an avenue to talk magic with people when I don't have an outlet. Because right now I just talk to my baby and she doesn't understand anything.
That's what you think.
Yeah, I know. She's just learning. She's going to become the ultimate Tony.
Her first word is going to be days.
Oh man.
Right, yeah, it's probably Raghavan is too many syllables, so
that's how she rebels against you in the future, just plays nothing but daze decks. I'll show you, Dan.
I just dazed my daddy. No. All right, Josh, take us out with a hot take.
Andrew Garfield is the best Spider-Man. Ooh, it's Wednesday, my dude.
100% agree. I always liked him.
Boom.
Who the hell is Spider-Man?
The 5-color minute will be exactly 1 minute, and then anything that's past the 1 minute mark gets cut.
Why?
Because I am a rules follower.
I don't believe that for a fact.
I know. Here's the thing about rules.
It's just going to be me saying Colossal Dreadmaw for a minute.
Yeah, you can do that. The thing about rules is they apply to everybody else, but I don't believe they apply to me. So, like, if someone cuts in line, I'm telling, but I can cut in line whenever I want.